You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Went to the program to put his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network, and we'll be joined by one of the best fantasy analysts in the business, the Black Book, man. We're going to dive into the Black Book. Joe Pisapia joins us. Joe Pisapia, not only a great fantasy analyst, but he happens to be a big-time New England Patriot fan as well. Seems to be a lot of Patriot and Eagle fans amongst our Fantasy Sports Network colleagues. Joe Pisapia will join us. Yesterday we had Sincada on. Fortunately, Mike Cardano, he's not a Patriot or an Eagle fan. Of course, Chris Meany is. We'll get Meany on once again before the big game next week. But we continue to kick the tires on the Super Bowl. And not to pull a Barry Horowitz and pat ourselves on the back, but you're not going to find a show anywhere that's going to run through as many Super Bowl props and give you as much insight and trends and info leading up to the big game than you'll get right here on Game Time Decisions and Morenci Unfiltered over the next week and a half. Although, on tonight's Morenci Unfiltered, we got to talk some UFC. Fast and Furious, man. Man, these weeks go by fast. There's a UFC card. We got Derek Brunson and Jacare fighting this weekend. So we'll break that down tonight with Lou from Gamblu.com. Mark Lawrence joins us on the program today. And Mark Lawrence's Super Bowl newsletter, playbook.com, has been released. And, man, there's some great information inside this newsletter over at playbook.com. So Mark Lawrence will join us. Cleveland Cavaliers continue to struggle. Man, I don't know. Like, we swept the board last night in the NBA. You're welcome. I think it was, what, 4-0? I don't know how the Cleveland Cavaliers were favored last night against the San Antonio Spurs, but tonight I think the Spurs are in trouble against the Memphis Grizzlies, actually. The Spurs aren't very good on back-to-backs, but we'll tell you about that during the plays of the day a little bit later on. We got our plays of the day coming up. We got Mark Lawrence. We got Joe Pisapia. Super Bowl 52, the countdown is on. And as far as a football matchup is concerned, we've got a great game. You know, we got two elite football teams that are going to be playing for the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And I think we should just rename it the Bill Belichick Trophy at this point, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's Bill Belichick's 11th Super Bowl, actually, as a whole. It's his 11th Super Bowl. He's been to more Super Bowls than anybody else. Dan Reeves was in seven of them. For the record, Don Shula coached in six of them. Bill Belichick, head coach in eight of them, assisted in the three others. But nevertheless, we've got a great football matchup. But people are sick of the New England Patriots being in the Super Bowl all the time. And the Philadelphia Eagles, they're not really a Cinderella team. And their fans are nut jobs that no one really seems to like. So it's an interesting, you know, dichotomy. And it's having an effect on the ticket sales. It's having a big-time effect on the ticket sales. I thought that New England, and I was in the ticket business before, I figured that New England and Philadelphia, the tickets would sort of remain, you know, stagnant. It wouldn't be a hot ticket, but it wouldn't be a bomb either. It would be somewhere in between. Yet, I don't know, like a lot of my picks, I'm wrong. All right? So the tickets on Sunday night / Monday morning on StubHub, which is the preeminent secondary market, it was $39.50. $3,950 was the cheapest ticket to get in. You know, you're literally like in the last row type of deal for $39.50. We checked out StubHub about an hour ago, and the same ticket is now $32.50. It's gone down $1,700 in 48 hours. What that tells me is that nobody's bought anything. Like, and that, you know, they use algorithms and stuff, these guys, that basically, all right, if this is the market right now, it's a cold market. Now, what will happen is I think it will continue to drop, and then once it hits like 26, 27, then people can suddenly start to afford it. I mean, you know, how much would you be willing to pay? And that's where I'm going with this. Now, for the record, the most I've ever paid for a sporting event to get into was $650. I paid $650 cash to get into the NBA All-Star Game in Toronto. I went to the whole, I didn't go to the slam dunk stuff. I went to the rookie stuff Friday, and I went to the Sunday All-Star Game. I paid, the rookie sophomore game was way cool. It was a great time, and it was only like $90 or something like that for pretty good seats, actually. But the NBA All-Star Game, it was pricey. It was $650. All-Star games only come to your city like once every 20 years, 25 years, 30 years or whatever. It's extremely rare. I wanted to be there. It was Kobe Bryant's final All-Star game. I've always wanted to go to an NBA All-Star game. I did it. It was worth it. I didn't have any regrets after the fact. The only regret that I had is I brought a chick with me, and I'm not with her right now, you know? It's pretty expensive. Not a movie, you know what I'm saying? She's not even a basketball. I want to go, and then NBA All-Kobe Bryant. It's like, you realize tickets are like $700, right? But anyways. Nowadays, yeah, you go to about what for 1500, about four movies. it's about 250, it's like $78 for a movie ticket now or something. There ain't a piece of crap that Hollywood can make that I would pay that much money for, trust me. All right, you get a hooker for that. You get a hooker for cheaper than a costume. You go see a Marvel movie nowadays. Just saying, I'm not, you know, not me. I've heard. So, speaking of which, so $650, the most I ever paid. What's the most you would pay? I'm asking you right now, watching this video. If your favorite team made the Super Bowl, besides your favorite teams, the Patriots, who are in a bloody Super Bowl every year. Now, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, and I've often wondered, and, you know, it's funny because I was around when the Bills were in Super Bowls before, but I was younger. I was 18, 19, 20, etc. I didn't have that type of money then. I was betting big money on the games, but Super Bowl seemed unattainable to me as a kid when I was younger. Now, you know, I'm a grown man. It's like, all right, how much does it cost? What is it going to be? Right? So how much would you be willing to pay to see your favorite team? And is the Super Bowl even the best place to be? Now, listen, I've been to Super Bowls before with media passes, okay? And it kind of sucks, to be honest with you. You got to get there like 3-4 hours before the game. You think traveling in an airport is bad, man. You get groped, man. You're like a porn star, all right? And you don't get paid. It's like a police state. It's not a party. There's no tailgate party or anything like that. It's very corporate. They cut off the beer like at halftime. It's not a regular football game. And you're with a bunch of corporate bootlickers. So, you know, our man, Big Man, that joined Summer NC Unfiltered, he's a big Eagles fan. He lives in downtown Philadelphia. That's the place to be. You know, more so than the game. But if the Buffalo Bills were in the Super Bowl, how much would I be willing to pay? I don't know. I guess this is really hypothetical because it's not like we're going to be in the Super Bowl. Although, you know what? I think we could in the next couple of years. As somebody that, you know, I'm like George Costanza, you know? I'm a middle-aged, singled, white, bald man. Slightly dim-witted. You know, probably not going to have kids. I don't even have a pet. You know, so Buffalo Bills in a Super Bowl. I'd probably go up to like 5,000. 5,000. I hate to admit it, but, you know, I had a Cleveland Brown fan on Twitter telling me today, Bronx Bomber, our boy Bronx Bomber said, he goes, I'll pay 8,000 for the Browns. He goes, I'd be so happy. I'm willing to go up to 8 for a good ticket. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You go to the Super Bowl, it's $3,200. You can't sleep in the park because Secret Service is going to say, hey, you can't sleep here. Normally you could. And it's Minneapolis. You can't, like, at least Miami or something, you just go get wasted on the beach. And you know what I mean? You really could pull it off without a hotel room. Not in Minneapolis. We need to sleep in the Mall of America. And so basically, Patriot fans aren't going to the game because they go to the Super Bowl every year and it's too expensive. And secondly, Eagle fans don't have any money left because they had to pay bail and attorney fees after they got arrested on Sunday night. And plus, they paid like $1,000 to get into the game. And I'd rather see my team win the NFC Conference Championship game live than the team playing the Super Bowl, actually, to be honest with you. So it'll be interesting to see where the ticket prices go from here. Feel free to comment and let us know. What's the most you ever pay to get into a sporting event, and how much would you be willing to pay to see your favorite team play in the Super Bowl? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's get right down to business. Joe Pisapia will join us. One of the best fantasy analysts in the game. His fantasy black book is legendary. The baseball edition is out right now and available on Amazon. But he's also a big Patriot fan. So Joe Pisapia will join us. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now. We'll talk some Super Bowl odds, props, trends, tidbits, and some NBA and some college basketball with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. And I received the playbook.com Super Bowl newsletter, the midweek newsletter alert, and some great stuff, great wealth of information, guys. It'll really help you form your opinion for this Super Bowl that really, Mark, is like a Supreme Court case. Strong arguments can be made for on either side, both the Patriots and the Eagles. Reading your database and crunching my own numbers and looking at all aspects of this, you really can make an argument for both football teams.
Unquestionably, Gabe. In fact, in that midweek alert newsletter breakdown, we had listed advantages, Philadelphia, New England, back and forth, back and forth. And if you look at the way it's all written out, it's almost dead even to the advantages in the football game. Some teams make their cases with defense, some make them with offense, some with history, some with players, with yards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as you say, whichever side of the game that you like, you can certainly make a good case for.
So some interesting angles. You know, defense wins championships is a phrase that we've all heard as sports fans over the years. It depends on what sport, right? Like that's, it depends on what sport. But ultimately, you know, even in today's era of higher scoring sports and leagues, et cetera, you still need to be able to come up with a stop. And the teams that could come up with, you know, more stops than the other teams generally win more. As we saw, the teams that made it to the Final Four were all elite defenses. The Patriots defense really came on, as we talked about it last week, over the last 11 games of the season. But as far as defense winning championships, guys, courtesy of Mark Lawrence's database, the team with the higher-ranked defense has won 42 of the 51 Super Bowls, including 6-1 in the last seven.
Yeah, it's pretty strong what defense does in Super Bowl games. The better-ranked defense reigns superior in Super Bowl games. It's not all about offense. It's about defense. And surprisingly, Gabe, I don't think people realize this. Last year, it was New England with the better defense the better offense in that game against Atlanta.
And even the year before when I was on the wrong side of the game, and you warned me, you were on the right side. It was. I was like, yeah, Denver and Carolina. I'm like, yeah, Denver have the number one defense, but we got the number one offense and the number two defense. And the number one defense still beat them.
Yeah, it still reigned supreme, unquestionably, in Philadelphia, sitting there right now. They took over the number one ranking when they throttled Minnesota and put all those yards and points up on them. So they go into the Super Bowl, does Philadelphia, with the league's number one ranked defense.
You know what doesn't surprise me, actually, though, and this is sort of old school as well, the team that rushes for more yards is 38-12. There's actually one push. Last year, they both rushed for 104 yards, incidentally. But that's like an old school, isn't it? Defense, run the football. I guess it does still win Super Bowls.
It does, because what it does is it takes this passing game away from the opponent. If you're running the ball in the Super Bowl, you're controlling the clock. And by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles are the number one team in the NFL in time of possession each of the last 2 years.
Love it.
Under Doug Peterson. So, you know, if you can control the ball, run the clock, do all those good things, okay, you can keep your defense off the field and put theirs on the field. That will be Philadelphia's game plan.
I think Philadelphia, and I completely agree with you, and I'm in the minority here. I don't hear a lot of people talking about LeGarrette Blount, but I think LeGarrette Blount props are going to be worth a look, Mark. I think he's going to have a big impact on this game. The New England Patriots giving up over 4.7 yards a clip on the ground. Big physical backs give them problems. Smash mouth football, you just mentioned it. I didn't realize that. It was 2 years in a row, best time of possession. And we saw it. We saw it against the Falcons in the fourth quarter when they sucked the life out of the Falcons. They kept the football for 7.5, 9 minutes, whatever it was. I mean, the Falcons touched the ball once, you know, in the fourth quarter. They couldn't stop it. And I told people, wow, that was the Falcons. They're more of a finesse speed defense. Vikings, yeah, they'll be able to stop that. They couldn't stop it. I think, like, if, you know, LeGarrette Blount can start running downhill against his former team, people don't talk about Blount like he's an elite back, but he's still a freaking load to try to tackle, Mark.
Gabe, I agree 100% with that analogy. And, in fact, every year in the Super Bowl, there's a sleeper back that ends up being either, if not an MVP, but he's at least in the talk.
Yep.
We saw that last year with James White out of the backfield for New England. He was superior catching the passes out of the backfield, scoring touchdowns for this football team. Jay Ajayi is a home run hitter. You know, he'll either run the ball for 22 yards or 102, and he'll get 80 of those on one carry. but it's LeGarrette Blount that will control the tempo of the football game. That goes to time of possession, and that goes to what Doug Peterson loves, controlling the offense.
All right, another tidbit of information that you'll only get from Mark Lawrence's database. We've talked a lot about this week, Mark. I've talked a lot about the Super Bowl MVP and the fact that, eight of the last 11 Super Bowl MVPs have been quarterbacks, 28 of the 51, 54%. So I broke down that aspect of it. But let's talk about an angle that you talk about every year, and it just keeps winning every year. That's another I lost with the Cam Newton situation. Regular season MVPs. Now, it hasn't been announced yet, but it's no secret. It's going to be Tom Brady. It might have been Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz got hurt. So Tom Brady's going to win the MVP this year, guys. MVPs have lost the last 7 Super Bowls in which they started. So I'm talking about quarterbacks. MVP quarterbacks in a regular season are 0-7 straight up and against the spread. And it's not just like an anomaly. It's not a gumball stat here, Mark. You know, your database going back 20 times, it's happened. Not a lot of covers in there, man.
No, 6 wins straight up, 6-14 in the history of the Super Bowl, Gabe. That's going back to 1967. So of those 20 quarterbacks in the Super Bowl that were MVPs, only 6 of those teams managed to win the game. Only 5 of them beat the spread. And as you mentioned, 7 times in a row, we've seen the MVP quarterback not only lose the game, but lose straight up. It happened to Matty Ryan in the Atlanta Falcons in the worst of ways last year, but nonetheless, it still happened. And rest assured, Tom Brady will be the MVP going into this football game.
How annoying is it, the Patriots? 7 repeat champions in Super Bowl history. The last team to do it, the New England Patriots. They have an opportunity to do it again. I saw another stat and fact this week, Mark. Bill Belichick would join Chuck Knoll and Vince Lombardi as the only 2 coaches in NFL history to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just amazing. We mentioned in the coffee club this morning about the experience that New England brings into this football game, and it's hands down overpowering. Bill Belichick, 39 games he's been a head coach in the playoffs. Doug Peterson, 2. You talk about quarterbacks, you look at Tom Brady, 36 starts in the playoffs. Nick Foles, 3. But it's what Belichick and Brady do best. They lead their teams to the playoffs, and they benefit from that. But they don't win every time.
Nope.
They just have a ton of experience going into the game.
And we should note Nick Foles, one of only 2 quarterbacks in NFL history to complete 75% or more of his passes in the 2 playoff games, the other one being Joe Montana. And, best touchdown-to-interception ratio in NFL history in a regular season belongs to Tom Brady. Who's number 2? Nick Foles in NFL history.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's not like Nick Foles – he's like 30 years old. He's not a kid. He has accomplishments. Like, I think Nick Foles will be fine going into the game. So, looking at a prop that I like, Mark, often is will there be more points in the first half or the second half? And generally in big football games, there's more points in the second half. It's a feeling out process in the first and it opens up. Now, specifically with the New England Patriots, and we'll get to your numbers in a second, but – you know, and I was at the Nipplegate game, the Carolina game. Remember that one's low score? It was like 0-0 after the first quarter. Like you go down the list, you know, there's a lot of low-scoring games with the Pats, and even the Pats are slow starters in Super Bowls. Brady really struggled in the Super Bowl last year in the first half. And then it opens up in a second. Brady's played in 7 Super Bowls 5 times, guys. There's been more points scored in the second half. 1 push against the Giants, 19 in the first, 19 in the second, and there was actually more points scored in the first half against Seattle than the second half. But, you know, 5-1-1 is not a bad trend right there, Mark, with Tom Brady. And then your numbers with their ineffectiveness on offense early in football games in the Super Bowl just sort of seals why I like this prop so much as well.
It does, Gabe, and let's call it like it is. And for this Super Bowl game, we'll call them the New England Snails. Because if you look at what they've done under Bill Belichick in Super Bowl games, they've not scored a point in the first quarter of any of their 7 Super Bowl games. They've been outscored 15-0, but they've rallied back in those next 3 quarters, obviously, to make it a football game. I tweeted that out this morning about New England being ineffective with that. I'm going to have it as a prop at cover, so all the listeners of the show today get that as a bonus. Look at the New England Patriots under the total in that first quarter, and it goes hand-in-hand with what you say, how the Patriots come alive in the second half of Super Bowl games.
And we should note, as well, That's amazing, man. And they haven't scored a single point. A single freaking point. First quarter number is 9.5, Mark. And yeah, that's the first quarter total. I'd prefer if it was an even 10, obviously, but they're not giving money away. So it's 9.5 minus 125, but I think it's a slow scoring, slow start, slow scoring football game to start out of the gate. The fact that the New England Patriots are scoreless in 7 Super Bowls in the first quarter comes into play to make me think Philadelphia Eagles team to score first, plus 110. I mean, the New England Patriots are minus 150 to score first. Why? That's kind of a random anomaly. It's kind of like random who's going to score first. And then conversely, you look at the fact that the Patriots, they don't score in the first quarter. And we should note as well, I want to get into this, I don't bet the coin toss. Like, I'll bet on a lot of football props, but I don't bet on who's going to win the coin toss. But I am intrigued by what Philadelphia is going to do. I imagine they'll probably put their defense on the field, right? Because they're the visiting team. They're going to get to call the coin toss.
I think they'll do just that, and I think if New England wins the toss, they'll put their offense in the field. So I think either way, we're going to see New England's offense starting the game out, whether it's Belichick winning it or Peterson losing the toss. I think either way, the Patriots will likely be the first team with the football.
That's probably why they're minus 150.
Probably.
Probably why they're not. Hopefully the odds makers don't know. They don't read your playbook, hopefully.
Incidentally, Gabe, by the way, in that winless stat for New England in the first quarter, they've been outscored 15-0 in those 7 games. So combined, there's only been 15 total points in 7 first quarters of Super Bowl games with the Patriots. So, again, 9.5 looks like a pretty good under.
And I believe it was the Eagles that were up 9-0 on them, actually, in one of the Super Bowls, although it doesn't really have a lot of correlation. So, Mark Lawrence, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, he's got Super Bowl prop results. And this is freaking awesome because it literally, and Mark, I appreciate the work that you put in and your team puts in because I'm a one-man operation. I've got a crew here. McCormick does a great job, but with the graphics and putting everything together. But it's not easy. And then you always got to double check and triple check stuff because you don't want to put out bad numbers.
Right.
I mean, just me searching Super Bowl box scores to get the first half, second half took me 40 minutes, Mark. You know what I mean? Let me double check. And, did I get that one right? Oh, I think I forgot. Oh, I got to go back to 2002. And, it took me like an hour. And people don't realize this. So I was like to myself, I was like, man, I got to go through every Super Bowl and see first half, second halves, not just the Brady ones. And then I get your newsletter today. You've got Super Bowl prop results for the last 8 years, all the popular prop results. This is great stuff, man.
Well, what I'm doing, Gabe, is I do every year for USA Today. I'll write a Super Bowl prop article. It'll be ready next Wednesday. I'll write it on Monday, but this is all the preparation for getting Super Bowl prop ideas together. And a good friend of mine, Ralph Michaels from WagerTalk.com, helped me with this study here. So there's some really good stuff to look at when you're talking about props and what's happened here of late, especially the last 8 years in Super Bowl games.
Just, I haven't had a chance to go through the chart yet, but just, sort of I'm looking, all right, what jumps off the page at me? One of them that jumps off the page at me at plus money, will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown scored? And, that's a plus money bet all the time. You'll get it in a plus 140 to plus 160 range, depending on your book, et cetera. 6 out of the last 8 Super Bowls, yes, Mark.
Yeah, that's nice to know. 6 of the last 8 are yes, especially when you're looking at a prop like that where you're getting plus 145 on the prop. Those are things that you like to know going in. The team to score the first time in the football game, will they win the football game? Yes or no? Yes, it's minus 160, but something you don't want to know, given the fact that the last 6 of the last 7 Super Bowls, the team that scored first has won the game. On the flip side, the team that scores last has cashed 8 years in a row in winning the Super Bowl. So nice, neat stuff when you're looking at these props, especially when you can find a prop that backs the dog. Like you say, the plus 145 on the special teams.
When I was younger and dumber, I used to fall for the will one team score 3 times in a row? I'm like, nah, that's going to be a really close game. It's not happening. No. I learned my lesson a couple of times. So whenever I hear someone bring it up, I warn them, don't do it. Like, they're like, no, but it's going to be so close. I'm like, don't do it. I'm telling you. I'm looking at this, Mark, 6-2 as well. 6 out of the last 8 Super Bowls. Yes, one team did score 3 times in a row.
Yeah, teams take over, they command, and they put another team to sleep. We saw that with the Atlanta Falcons last year against the New England Patriots when they had them all but beat, as we know, going into the late stages of that football game. So some things that you think are commonly, logically not going to happen, but, you know, my goodness, these results say otherwise in a lot of cases.
Yeah, we can't wait to crunch these numbers. One thing quickly on this, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We can go on and on. We'll come back. We'll talk about tonight's basketball card with Mark Lawrence. But something that caught my eye, Mark, and I was waiting for the sack prop to come out, and I just saw a couple of books release them earlier in the day. 4.5. And without even looking at the data, this is just off the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles have the best pass rush in the NFL. Everyone talks about Jacksonville, but Philadelphia actually have the most efficient one, according to Pro Football Focus. And if you look at the numbers with hurries, rushes, sacks, best pass rush, best defensive line in football. And then conversely, Nick Foles isn't the most mobile guy. He will take a sack or two, I believe, in this game. I was sort of expecting 5.5. I'm going to bet over 4.5 sacks in this game.
I would too, Gabe. You take a look going backwards, six of the last 7 years, the sacks have gone over the combined total. And in fact, the last 2 years in the Super Bowl, there have been a total of 22 sacks. It was a sack fest each of the last 2 years. 4.5 sacks is not a lot, especially when you've got a quarterback like Tom Brady, who's like cement running, trying to run out of cement against this Philadelphia defense here. I think that's an excellent prop. This sack total will go over the total.
Then, of course, you got that crazy safety one, too. 3 years in a row it happened. It's plus 750 this year.
Yeah, but there haven't been a safety the last 3 years. So he had that nice little run that kept Jay Cornegay sleepless at night when it happened, especially that first play of the game. Oh, my God. But we haven't seen it 3 years in a row, so it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out this year.
Too bad it wasn't me that had that first play of the game. Fortunately, I was on the wrong side, too. I was like, God, what a great way to start that game. All right, we'll take a quick break. That was some great information as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, but we got some great talk for the NBA, a little college basketball talk on the other side. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our conversation with one of the best in the business, Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. The newsletter is the best in the business, available on your mobile device, Playbook Cube. Go over to the Google Store. Man, his newsletter and the Super Bowl prop results will keep you busy and really going to help you make some money, put you in the right direction. Let's talk some NBA basketball. Before we get to tonight's ticket, I don't know, Mark, seems like just a couple of months ago, you know, you and I and a year and a half ago, that you were masterfully playing the in-game markets during Cleveland Cavaliers NBA Finals. I mean, people got tired of Cleveland versus Golden State. Well, the way things are going, it won't be Cleveland versus Golden State this year.
No, it doesn't look like that right now, Gabe. In fact, Cleveland's going to do well to make the playoffs right now. But you know something? Between now and the end of the season, we'll go back at this conversation and say, remember when we talked about this? Because Cleveland, I think, will end up being the number two seed in the Eastern Conference when the bottom line push comes to shove.
So you're not burying them. You know, maybe they struggle. Because you know this, and as far as the database, I saw a stat today, SBR tweeted it out, that they're on pace to have the worst ATS record since 1991 in NBA history. Like of any team, like expansion teams. They've only covered 11 games.
They've been a money burner at home especially. I think it was something like 2-16 or something. There was a number running to the Cavaliers. They've just been absolutely choke jobs to the point spread. But again, I think this will all even itself out here in the second half of the season here. No team in the NBA right now is playing for real. They're playing with monopoly money, if you will. That's their approach to the game. It all counts the last month of the season, and it will be that way with the Cleveland Cavaliers as well.
Yeah, you can sort of tell the Warriors are getting surly and bored. Like they, it's like bring the playoffs on, you can tell. All right, so tonight, speaking of a team that has a lot to prove in the playoffs and has an opportunity to, I think, to go on a deep run, and I am a Raptor fan, but I call it like I see it. I told people last year we got no shot, bad team chemistry. It's a really good Raptor team this year, and we're seeing Boston struggle, Cleveland struggle. The Raptors are going to be right there. They've been off, and, you know, they lost. They played San Antonio Friday, and then they played in Minnesota Saturday. So it was a tough spot. They played in Toronto Friday, but then they were in Minnesota on the road on Saturday. It was a tough spot for them. They kind of hit the wall in the fourth quarter and lost the basketball game. But they haven't played since Saturday. And your database tells us Raptors have been pretty good this year. And, in fact, perfect this year when they have 3 days of rest.
Yeah, in fact, they've been really, really good with 3 days of rest, yet to lose to the spread. And in fact, I'm going to go deeper than that, Gabe. We publish a thing called the NBA Totals Today. Victor King does a great job handicapping totals for us at Playbook. Every day he puts up a new Totals Today, and on his Totals Today tip sheet, he talked about the Toronto Raptors. When they are favored by 3 or more points and Toronto has 3 days of rest, as they do tonight, they're 15-3 to the over. The last 18 times they've been in the situation here tonight. So if you like this basketball game, if you're going to look at Toronto, back it up with the over.
I like where you're going with that. You know, Atlanta playing some decent ball right now. They've won 4 of 6. Weird number with the Hawks. They're 4-10 at home against teams in the East. If for some reason they're 6-3 against teams from the West. That whole West is best stuff is slowly starting to die down a bit. It used to sort of be automatic money that, you know, the Western team would beat the Eastern team. But that doesn't automatically happen anymore. T-Wolves and Blazers. You know, there wasn't a lineup earlier in the morning in this basketball game, but now there is actually 3.5 for the Blazers.
Yeah, I got to like the way the game sets for Portland in this game, Gabe. They're here in this basketball game off a straight-up favorite loss. You bring Minnesota in here off an underdog win. That's what I call a double DBO matchup here. You're favoring the better basketball team that's hungry here, Portland at home. I'll back the Blazers in this contest.
Portland Trailblazers 8-1 against the spread last 9 division tilts as well, guys. So last night, I don't know why the hell the Cleveland Cavaliers were favored on the road against the San Antonio Spurs. I played the Spurs and I played the over. We hit them both. But now the Spurs playing against the Memphis Grizzlies, who Memphis sort of have a Chicago thing going on now, in which they, you know, they fired their coach. Well, Chicago didn't fire their coach, but, you know, they were 3-20 and then they won a bunch of games. But Memphis, they're in a little rhythm right now. They're playing good basketball. They got a good chemistry going. They're not a team that's quit on the season, at least. They're going out there and competing. And the San Antonio Spurs, kind of an older basketball team, it's kind of a spotty roster with a lot of injuries right now, have struggled this year, 1-7 against the spread, coming off of no rest the last 8 times it's happened.
Yeah, you know, they used to be really terrible when Tim Duncan was around. You know, his age really showed in those no-rest basketball games. It's still continuing with the Spurs. And you look at this matchup here, the way it comes up tonight here. You're talking Memphis is playing pretty good basketball here of late. They're playing with double same-season revenge. They were taken out by 25 points the last time they played. You catch the Spurs off the Cavs win. I think Memphis, for sure, the right side in this contest tonight.
Grizzlies coming in on a high, raced a 15-point deficit the other night, beat the Philadelphia 76ers 105-101. They've won 4 of their last 5 basketball games outright. And finally, in closing, let's jump into to the Big Ten. Nebraska and Rutgers on the board here this evening. Rutgers -1, total 126.5.
Well, Nebraska is coming in with a little bit of revenge in the contest, Gabe. They had knocked off Rutgers 5 times in a row, straight up into the spread until last year when they took the loss here. You got Rutgers coming off a revenge game that they couldn't handle. Nebraska comes in off a 1-point loss. I think in a win situation, the Cornhuskers are the better basketball team. I'll back them tonight.
You know, Mark, last night I was talking about Super Bowl trends, and I suggested to people on my podcast that they get your newsletter. And I, you know, people were asking, what about March Madness and what about the tournament? And I said, oh, there's a criteria. And I started to, you know, you got to have this coach and that coach. And I tell you, everyone's going to meet the criteria right now. And I don't want to be Captain Obvious here because, you know, and to be honest with you, not everyone's going to bet this team. You know, the people always doubt Coach Jay Wright, and they're not even favorites. But to me, Villanova, head and shoulders, the best college basketball team in the country.
Well, they're drowning everybody that's stepping in front of them, Gabe, here. That basketball game they played their last game here when they were down 8 or 10 points in the first half, got the money big time last night, just cruised with a 22-2 lead. They look like they've got Final Four written all over them, and I wouldn't argue with you in saying that they're not the best team in college basketball right now. They're certainly playing that way.
Mark Lawrence, get his playbook, playbook.com, available on your mobile device, the Playbook Cube. Always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for the time. I look forward to talking with you next week.
And my pleasure, Gabe. We'll tear down some more props next week. Be good.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. Can't wait to look at the Super Bowl prop results from the past 8 Super Bowls to help us put together where we're going to be going for this year's Super Bowl. Joe Pisapia joins us next. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Listen, we have to do it. My apologies, people. We're bringing in a Patriot fan, all right? We can't just only have people on the show that hate the Patriots all the time. It's actually, you know, it's not hard finding people that hate the Patriots. As far as Patriot fans are concerned, there are Patriot fans. It's shocking. It's shocking. We got to get Reed on the show before it's all said and done. But we're now joined by a Patriot fan who's in New York. And, you know, me and Cardano talked about this yesterday. This Super Bowl for New Yorkers kind of sucks. You know, they hate Boston. They hate the city of Boston. They hate teams from Boston. Jet fans don't like the Patriots. Giant fans don't like the Patriots. And Giant fans don't like the Eagles. It's not a happy, happy, joy, joy, Ren and Stimpy Super Bowl for Gotham City. Joe, people in New York are pissed.
Yeah, they're not too happy. But, you know, that's all right. I mean, it's not like the Giants haven't had a couple Super Bowls and the Jets, well... Well, it's not like the Giants haven't had a couple Super Bowls.
The Jets will always have Joe Namath, right? They got Joe Namath.
Sure, you can always hang your hat on good old Joe Namath, right?
Yeah, Broadway Joe. I'd be hanging my hat on that without a doubt. I want to kiss you.
Hey, as a Bills fan, you take that one, right?
Oh, damn right, man.
Hey?
Yeah, damn right. All right, so we should mention the Fantasy Black Book Baseball Edition is now available at Amazon. It's a wealth of information. A ton of contributors. Also, you can check out Joe 4 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Jake Seeley and with Chris Meany, who's an Eagle fan. How's that going? You guys have some good banter and smack talk?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I actually picked the Eagles the last 2 weeks to win, and Chris did not. So he thinks I'm the good luck charm, but I told him I think it's going to run out this next couple weeks. But we're actually very happy for the next 2 weeks. We're very excited. We might be the two happiest people at this whole station. But look, you know, the Eagles have had a great run here. I think that the letdown from that last second victory for the Minnesota Vikings, I think it was just really hard for them to reinflate after that and get up for that game. And the defense just really didn't show up. And, you know, give credit to Nick Foles. And I'll also say for the Patriots side, I think the best thing to happen to the Patriots is the fact that they saw Nick Foles put up a huge game. So there's no, hey, underestimate this guy. You might get in trouble. So you have to really keep that in mind. So if I'm a Patriots coordinator, I'm looking at that and I'm saying to myself, all right, Nick Foles is for real here, at least for this next week. We can't underestimate what he's capable of. And I think that's a very good thing from the Patriots from a standpoint of preparation for the next 2 weeks.
That is a good point as far as with the players. Obviously, Belichick is going to be prepared no matter what, but I think it does get their attention. And hey, look, Foles completed 75% of his passes in both games. Only Joe Montana is the only other guy to do that. I you know, in the playoffs, I brought it up, too. Tom Brady has the number one all-time for a regular season, single season, touchdown-interception ratio. Who's number two in NFL history? Nick Foles with that 27-2 season. So it's like Nick Foles is right there with the greats. I mean, he gets a ring, and it puts it over the top. So you tweeted about it. A lot of people talked about it. Tom Brady, his 8th start, 15% of all Super Bowls. You throw in the two Pats Super Bowls that they lost before, they were at 19% of all Super Bowls. But let's get into a number here that surprised me to see this. And if you would have told me this, you know, off, you know, without backing it up and me seeing it from my own eyes, I would have been like, nah, they must have scored. Like, nah, they must have had a field goal. In the 7 Super Bowls with Tom Brady, they've never scored a single point in the first quarter before, Joe. That's amazing.
It's staggering. And the fact that they have the record they do in those Super Bowls is even more staggering. I guess it just points to, you know, Tom Brady makes the, you know, likes to make things difficult on himself, I guess. I can assume that's the only reason for it. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about percentages too. If you add in the Belichick Giants years that he was there as a coordinator and as a coach, you're talking about 20% of all Super Bowls have Bill Belichick involved in them in some way. So that's also, it's just a staggering amount of experience. But we all know, you know, it's always one game. So you could take all that stuff and all these, well, the Patriots never lose when they were the white jerseys. And you can, you know, say, well, they've got X number of games and Nick Foles has never played in the Super Bowl. You know, you could take all that and throw it out the window.
Every one of their Super Bowls has been close. All 7 of them. Every one of them.
Yeah.
The biggest margin of victory was 6.
Even got the first overtime Super Bowl last time out. So, you know, to think that any Patriots Super Bowl is going to be a cakewalk. Well, look, maybe this will be the blowout. I don't know. The Eagles have a strange mojo going on right now, and they've got something that They're just in belief of themselves, this whole dog pound thing, this underdog thing that's going on there right now. I think it's they're really caught up in it, and I think that's a very dangerous thing when a team really believes in themselves, maybe even, you know, greater than the sum of their talent. Right now, they're playing as a cohesive unit, and that's a very dangerous thing, and I think the Pats should be at least be very worried about it, at the least.
I've got LeGarrette Blount as one of my X factors in the game. I think LeGarrette Blount could have a big impact on this football game. You look at the Patriots, I don't think they deal well with smash-mouth backs, you know, giving up over 4.7 on the ground. But conversely, and me as a betting man, I want to pick your brain here as a fantasy expert. Who's a guy on the Patriots besides, you know, Deion Lewis, you know? You know, who's going to be on Jalen Mills and Amendola? Amendola, I swear, man, like he had what? He had 11 catches against the Titans. And then his prop was like 2.5, 3.5 receptions. Then last week, Joe, it was 3.5. You bet it. Amendola over under 3.5 catches. I'm like, what am I missing here, guys? He was targeted 13 times. Yeah, and again, he shattered it. He went way over the number again against Jacksonville. And Jalen Mills is a bend but don't break guy. You know, at times he has given up 9 touchdowns. So I think they're going to look to attack him a little bit. Does Amendola rack up the receptions? Who's a guy in the Patriots that's, you know, you think could have a nice game?
Well, I don't want to be boring here, but I think it's going to be Gronkowski, and here's why. You know, you look at the Eagles stats and you'll say, oh, well, they're pretty good against the tight end. But if you look a little deeper, they didn't play a lot of great tight ends. And every time they played a guy like, let's say like a Travis Kelce, or Jordan Reed when he was healthy, gave him all sorts of problems. So I think Gronk's going to be a problem. And the other problem is, yeah, Amendola will be certainly active in this game. You know, that's what the Patriots do, those short yardage, you know, easy
passes. That's their run game.
You'll see a lot of Deion Lewis, a lot of that as well. And that's how they operate. They don't have a standard running game. Their short passing game is the running game. That's how they move the ball a couple feet at a time. And that's just what they do. But I'll tell you this. You know, when you're looking at Gronkowski, I just think a healthy Gronk there in that spot, he's going to clear the protocol. I think he's going to give them all kinds of matchup problems there because I don't think they don't have a guy like a Ramsey. They don't have a guy like an Eric Berry who can guard him one-on-one. I think that's going to be a bad scene for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, it's a concern. It's a concern. How they're going to be able to deal with that. That's everybody's concern. Well, Jacksonville figured out how to deal with it.
Well, if you have that great corner or safety who can guard him one-on-one, that's great. The problem is
they've got better safeties. They've got better safeties than corners. Like Darby and Mills are good, but not great. You know,
they're not good enough to stack up with him. And that's the problem too. And you got to be willing to get real physical with him too. And I think that's something too, some teams get intimidated by, and you'll see, you know, as these games tighten up, Gabe, as you mentioned before, you get those fourth quarter spots there where Brady has all these monumental comebacks. What happens? The other team tightens up. The other coordinators tighten up. They start getting away from their game plan. You saw it Jacksonville. You saw it with the Seahawks. You saw it with the Falcons. They make mistakes. Brady doesn't crumble under those circumstances. And that's why the fourth quarter is what it is for the Patriots and so many of those Super Bowl wins.
I'm looking at last year. He completed 43 passes, Tom Brady. The prop this year is 26. So it's 26. Yeah, you know, I think, listen, it's exactly what he did last week, actually, against Jacksonville. He put up 35. He completed 35 passes against Tennessee. Philadelphia are tough to run on. So I think there will be, like you talked about, that is their run. I think it'll be a big control pass game. So one of the books I bet at UWager, you can name your own prop so you can build it up. It's called the Prop Builder. So they have it at 26, and I'm like, I think that's a little low. So I started to bump it up. I get to 30 completions plus 300. Come on, Joe. You're telling me he can't complete 30, 35 passes in this game?
Oh, of course. And he could even complete that many and throw for 300 and possibly lose this game,
yep,
too.
Yep, yep.
So for me, I think that's an easy bet either way. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, the outcome of that game, whether you believe it's a win or a loss for Tom Brady and company, it doesn't change how I feel about that bet. And I'll take the over on the 26, and that 30 sounds certainly reasonable as well. So is the 300 yards.
I haven't made my official pick yet in this game, so I won't put you on the spot unless you've already thrown it out there. But I I did throw out one score the other day when people were pushing me, and I said 24-23 New England. I sort of see this being like every other Patriots Super Bowl. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter, and Brady probably makes a play. I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Well, I mean, that's how a lot of the Super Bowls are. You know, it's very rare we get that Seattle Seahawks versus Denver Broncos, it's over in the first quarter kind of scenario. It doesn't really happen like that for the most part. Usually, you know, that first quarter, everybody's just kind of feeling each other out a little bit. The teams aren't familiar with each other most of the time. So you get a lot of that, you know, everybody's flat from not playing for 2 weeks and all the travel and all the media stuff. So it takes a quarter to kind of dust everything off. That's why you get these Super Bowls that, you know, have come down to the wire so often these last few. So I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. I think that the Patriots will win this one. I actually do think this will be by more than a field goal. Not much, but I think they will win by more than a field goal. I think they will have the lead for a change. I think Hilly will try to make it interesting at the end. That's the way I see this one going. But I do think eventually that stage is going to get a little big for the Eagles, and that's when they're going to tighten up, and we all see what happens when that team tightens up on the other side of the Patriots.
You wager, like I said, so if he completes 30 passes, plus 236. That's damn good. You bump it up here to 35, plus 775. He completed 43 last year. I'm getting a hook from McCormick. You want more of Joe? 4 o'clock on the radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Seeley and Meany, and the Black Book available, baseball edition at Amazon right now. Thanks for the time, Joe.
Absolutely. I'll wear my Bledsoe jersey next time.
Yeah, bring it on. Yeah, we'll speak next week. We'll get some final thoughts. There's Joe Pisapia. We'll come back with our plays of the day next. What's up, everybody? I am Gabriel Morenci. It's time for my best bets of the day. We crushed it in the National Basketball Association last night. Let's try to keep it going this evening with my Toronto Raptors. Haven't played since Saturday. They lost to Minnesota. Remember, they played in Toronto on Friday night. They beat the Spurs. Then they went to Minnesota, and they lost on Saturday. They haven't played. Raptors are 5-0 against the spread this year when playing with 3 or more days rest. Give me the Raptors. And also, when the Raptors are 3 days or more rest and they're favored by 3 or more, the game goes over like every time. It's like 15-3 to the over. Let's go with the Raptors minus the points and the over. You guys know I generally don't like laying points on the road this much. Speaking of the road, the Utah Jazz, man, their notes are flat, all right, when they're on the road. They've only won 5 games outright all year on the road. They're 5-19. And here they are, the Pistons, only minus 135 on the money line, minus 2, depending on how you want to play it. I'll lay 35 cents on the money line with the Detroit Pistons, looking to snap a 5-game losing streak, but they're focused for this game. San Antonio Spurs, we gave it to Spurs last night to beat the Cavaliers. I don't know why the Cavs were favored. That was stupid. And the game went over the number, and I gave you that as well. But the Spurs are just 1-7 against the spread this year when playing on back-to-back. They're playing back-to-back. Memphis Grizzlies playing some good basketball right now. Coming off a big win on Monday night against Philadelphia. Grizzlies are hot. Give me the Grizzlies plus 1.5, and not a lot of people are going to like that. Maybe the market will go up and get us that 2 later in the day. College basketball, Temple. Temple are an average team, but Cincinnati don't score enough, man, to be winning by 14. They played earlier in the year, and it was a 2-point game. I was on the Owls. I'll be on the Owls again. Give me Temple plus 14, 127.5. You guys know me. I don't bet a lot of unders, but I will in this game. Too many points, man. It's going to be a low-scoring game. And finally, speaking of overs, give me a Nevada and Wyoming. Should be a fun game tonight up there in Laramie. Over 156. Other than that, you're on your own, mate. The winners be yours.